Okay, did you hear anything that I said in the last? It's good that I'm first because I project more than Diane does. Why don't you give it a try?
Okay. Yes, it's so exciting that now can you hear me better? About like this? Okay. It's so exciting that more languages have more access to scripture now than in any previous generation. One thing I wanted to tell you is that as Dan and I were thinking about getting into this line of work many years ago, an experienced missionary was talking with us and saying something that we took as kind of a caution. He said, "You know, Bible translation takes a long time. It doesn't happen quickly. You just have to stick with it day after day." So we thought about that and we thought, well, you know, it encouraged us that he had done that. And we thought, well, if he has done it, maybe we could do it too. And as we were progressing through the translation of this book, the South Conchucos Quechua New Testament, we thought of his words again and again. Dan and I have invested our lives in Bible translation, and we just want to thank you so much for your partnership with us. You've been part of our support team, faithfully giving and praying since the year 2009, and we just want to thank you so much. Together, we're investing in something that's tremendously valuable, something that's impacting people's lives now and will continue to do so for decades. The Bible is God's message, and for people to receive it and take it to heart, it needs to come in the language that they understand best. And that's what we're about. I believe that some of you here may speak another language other than English. You may have grown up in a home where you were speaking in another language. We'd like to just take a few minutes to look and see, count how many different languages are spoken by people in the church. So let's start in the balcony and then let's come down here. Does anyone in the balcony speak a language other than English in addition to English? If you do, raise your hand. No, nobody in the balcony. How about over here on this side? Anybody can speak German or Spanish or Romanian or something else? Nobody on this side. Okay, how about the center part? Yes, Jeannie? Spanish. Okay, great. And back here? German. Okay. Anybody else over here? Spanish. Okay. And Spanish, these two people back here? Anybody else in the center section? Okay, let's go over on this side now. Anybody speak another language? Yes? Japanese, I guess. Very, very good. Jeannie? You guys speak another language? Let's see. Spanish. Okay, so okay, we had, let's see if we can remember them all now. Spanish, we had Japanese, German. Did we have any others? I think we got Italian. Okay, who did I miss on Italian? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, Italian. Now, those of you who speak another language, or even if you speak English and you were in another country that didn't speak English, think about how you felt or how you feel when you find someone who speaks your language. Just think. Okay, so I'm going to ask for volunteers to just share. How do you feel when you find someone who speaks your language? Jeannie? Relieved and connected. Okay. Anyone else like to share how you feel when you find someone who speaks your language? Has anybody traveled to another country that doesn't speak English? Scotland, okay. Those of you who, it seems like the majority have traveled to another country that doesn't speak English. So, did you ever have the experience of a little bit of frustration that you couldn't make yourself understood? Okay, and yeah. Yeah. And let's say that you finally find someone who speaks English. So, how do you feel when you find someone who speaks your language? Happy, okay?
Safe.
Very good. Excited.
This could go down.
Down. Hopeful, okay. Okay, well, I want to share with you a little bit a secret. When I've been in, can you still hear me when that's down? Yeah? Okay. When I've been in Peru for a long time, surrounded by mostly Spanish and Quechua, and using those languages to communicate, after a while, I really start to miss English. I've been there months and months, years and years, and maybe Dan's the only person I speak English to. So I really start to miss it. And I can be going down the street in Huaraz, Peru, and just down Main Street, and sometimes we get a lot of tourists, so get American tourists, and I'll see people ahead of me that are obviously American tourists, and I'll see them and think, I hear a little bit of English coming back my way. And so I'll go up a little closer behind them because I just want to hear English. It makes me so happy to hear it. I like want to hear a new phrase or a new word maybe, or just to hear the intonation of English. So then I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how God cares about communicating to people in their own language, in other languages. And I searched through the book of Revelation, and I found that it mentions 6 times how he cares about communicating with every tribe and language and people and nation, and how also people from every ethnic group are going to make up a huge crowd in heaven praising God. We want to look at 3 of those 6 times in Revelation.
So in chapter 14, verse 6, and I saw another angel flying through the heavens, carrying the everlasting good news to preach to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Chapter 5, verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were killed, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a mighty shout, "Salvation comes from our God on the throne and from the Lamb."
Together with our Quechua co-workers, we're working hard to translate God's word into their languages so that their people can hear Jesus speaking to them in the language that they understand best, the language that they're drawn to, their own language. And God has been working through the scriptures that have been translated so far.
This is our grandson, Noah. In this picture, he's looking up at a chocolate waterfall. Something he'd never seen before. And we're showing you this because of the wonder on his face. So this morning, we want to focus on the wonder that Quechua people are experiencing as they encounter God in the very first scriptures translated into their language. Psalm 15:11 reads, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" Earlier this year, the Gospel of Luke was printed in Siwas Quechua and in Corongo Quechua. And this is the first book of scripture to appear in either of these two languages.
In the month of June, the Corongo Quechua translators went out to 18 villages in the province of Corongo to distribute the copies. They went to the schools, they went to the churches, the community meeting places, they went to the libraries, and also distributed copies to the stores. In several of the communities, they also showed the Gospel of Luke video at the same time that they were doing the distribution. The people began to look at the books and to read the text in wonder that God's word was coming to them in their own language.
Then later, several teachers and pastors enthusiastically began to share with the team the plans they had for using the book. So when the team had finished their trek in a pickup, a four-wheel drive pickup out through all of those 18 communities in Korongo. Avila, who is one of the translators that works with us, she's from a Pentecostal background herself, and she says, "We are in triumph and victory. What tremendous joy!" And then she launched into Isaiah 55:11. "My word that comes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." From her own heart, Avila continued, "We have taken God's word to the entire province of Korongo. If people truly read it, it will produce the effect that God wants."
The person on the screen now is Gudelia. She's a translator with us in for Korongo Quechua, and she's pictured up above her village. When she's not working on translation, she's a farmer. She's dedicated to her farming enterprise. She works in her field, supervises people in her fields, and also works at shepherding her animals. Farming there is very different from the farming in the United States. It's farming on a small scale, kind of like what our gardens would be like, their little, they call them chakras, their little fields. So she has a lot of little fields. And last September, we were in a workshop, translation workshop in Huaraz, and in that workshop, we used this Gospel of Luke, newly printed, this just came out this year, as part of our devotional time. And so what was happening was, she helped to translate this book, and for the first time now, she's holding it in her hands as a book rather than a bunch of papers that have lots of lines and marks through them. So she's looking at the finished product. They're doing devotions, and she was kind of in awe of it. She said, "I can't believe that Rosa and I translated this. This is really good. It's a joy to read." And she was just kind of beside herself with wonder with this book. She had, I mean, they really had suffered through it over a number of years, and just, you know, headaches and saying how we suffered, you know, translating this with headaches. We thought it would never be done, but now here it is. And then going to the other language group, Siwas Quechua translator Tomas is planting wheat here in his field, scattering it, which is the way they do it there. And he participated in this last workshop in the translation of 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 were particularly meaningful to him. And that goes, "All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." During this last workshop, Tomas had his 64th birthday. So he said, "You know, I'm entering my 65th year." And he's starting to think about his mortality and just realizes that he's not going to be on this earth forever. But he's also realizing that the word of God that he's translating is going to stay on. It's going to be used by the people of his village, producing fruit long after he's gone.
So those verses in Siwas Quechua sound like this. Llapang runakunapis kewa no ushakakyami, muneyo kainimpis waita no pasakyami, kewa pis chakingmi, waita pis shikwangmi, taita diospa palabrangami imepis mana ushakanku. And you know, what Tomas said and realized is right. So my recent medical adventures that some of you are aware of, and thank you so much for praying for me through that time, but it reaffirmed to me in a powerful way that our time on this planet Earth is limited. It's just a brief opportunity that God gives us to prepare us for eternal life, for life with Him forever. So how shall we live during our brief stay on planet Earth? Each one of us has the opportunity to make decisions that will impact eternally, ourselves, those we love. Decisions we make really stand, there are decisions we make that really stand forever. But it all starts with the Lord, because God is the one who is on a mission. He places us here on the earth so that we might believe His word and receive His gift. forgiveness of sins, and life together with God, His very presence in our own lives. And in the process, He equips us to participate in His mission. You know, sometimes we like to refer to mission work as we're sent out with the Great Commission, but really, it's God's mission. And we have the privilege of coming alongside and being co-missionaries with God. And He commissions us to be His ambassadors on earth so that others will also be able to experience an eternal life together with their loving Heavenly Father. During Jesus' 33 years on earth, that was a pretty short time. As I look out on the crowd, you know, to me, I've lived up quite a bit longer than 33 years. Many of you could say the same thing. Not everyone, but Jesus did a number of amazing things, but one of the most amazing things, or the one I'm thinking about just now, is that He scooped up children in His arms. And what did He say? Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. So what does Jesus see in these children? Well, isn't it a contrast between the attitude of the children and the attitude of His disciples? We like to think of ourselves as mature, as responsible, and about God's business. Well, those things are important, but really, that's not how we approach the King. So how does a child welcome the kingdom of God? Well, with trust, with open arms, and an unabashed sense of wonder. Do you remember the first time you experienced God's love in your life, just as you are? Do you remember that sense of wonder and gratitude for the work God was doing? And just that, who is this God that loves me in spite of who I am? Like my grandson Noah, who experienced a sense of wonder in the presence of a chocolate waterfall, how much more can God instill in us a sense of wonder and joy at His very presence in our lives? So if we want a greater sense of wonder, let's read and study our Bibles. Unlike many language groups across the planet, we have the Bible in our own language. In fact, we have it in any number of versions and translated forms. But part of the reason the Bible was written, I submit, was to create in us a sense of wonder. Wonder at God's creation. Wonder at God's presence, and wonder at God's gift of new life in Jesus Christ.
Some of you were aware that Dan had 3 major surgeries in the last 2 years, and we wanted to thank you so much for praying for him. He had major complications with every one of the surgeries, basically life-threatening complications, but he came through it, and we're convinced that God still has work for him to do here on this earth. He's basically doing well now. We were in Peru in August and in September, and he went out mountain biking with some of his friends, and was just so happy to be out on the trails and able to do that and doing well. We saw on your church calendar that you were packing Operation Christmas Child boxes not too long ago, and we thought you might be interested in seeing what happens with some of those boxes on the other end. The Corongo Quechua and Siwas Quechua children participate in that program. They have kind of a vacation Bible school. It's Bible lessons for about a week, and then at the end of those lessons, they each receive one of these boxes. These kids don't get things like this. If they get as much as a pencil, it's enough for all kinds of excitement. So you can imagine how they feel when they open one of these boxes full of treasure. In this little church, they sing several different songs in Quechua, but one of their favorite ones, I translated it into English here for you. I'm going with Christ. I'm going to the heavenly city. I'm going with Christ. I'm going to the heavenly city. I found everlasting life. I'm going with Christ. And I wonder if you'd like to learn to sing this song in Quechua.
Careful what you laugh about.
We've got the words up on the screen, and I think I'll sing it for you once through first, and then we will let you, then we'll go through and I'll sing the first line, and then with Dan, you can sing it as kind of an echo. And then if we do well with that at the end, we'll all sing it together, okay? I hope that you will love this song just as much as I loved it the first time I heard it. Kristu wa mi ewa ko, cielo markata ewa ko. Kristu wa mi ewa ko, cielo markata ewa ko. Winye kaweta tarishka, Kristu wa mi ewa ko. Okay, so now it's everybody's turn to try this. So.
Yes, so Diane first, and then everyone, all of you with me on the echo.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Kristu wang miewa ko.
Kristu wang miewa ko.
Cielo markata ewa ko.
Cielo markata ewa ko.
Kristu wang miewa ko.
Kristu wang miewa ko.
Cielo markata ewa ko.
Cielo markata ewa ko.
Winye kaweta tarishka.
Winye kaweta tarishka.
Kristu wang miewa ko.
Kristu wang miewa ko.
That sounded
beautiful.
Good.
Wow. I think they're ready for a. That was the pre-flight check.
Yeah.
Let's
okay.
Take off.
Okay, here we go. Now we'll sing it all together. 1, 2, 3. Kristu wang miewa ko, cielo markata ewa ko. Kristu wang miewa ko, cielo markata ewa ko. Winye kaweta tarishka, Kristu wang miewa ko. Okay.
Awesome.
Good.
So when we're translating the scriptures, how do we decide what books to translate first? Well, it's based on what people need. So we started with a Gospel of Luke so that they would have one complete gospel. After that, it was Genesis, because they really have no idea about the creation of the world, but to also learn about how God began to interact with people long ago. Then, following that, it was more in the hands of the translators themselves, and they identified pervasive social issues they were facing in their communities, and then selected books of scripture together with us that would address those issues. So one of the things that's a issue is mothers-in-law don't get along with daughters-in-law and vice versa. And so the team chose to translate the book of Ruth. Gossip and envy is something that's pervasive and an issue for the translators themselves as they self-identified. So based on that, we went on to Titus and 1 Peter and James. Very practical books. They identified that husbands and wives had difficulty communicating or, you know, meeting each other's or being aware of each other's wants and needs. Children weren't obeying their parents in some cases. Does any of that sound familiar to us? Well, of course it does. We all need God's word to instruct us and to help us and to guide us. Well, so then to give you an update on our progress so far, as you've seen, we have Luke in published form now, so praise God for that. And we have Genesis, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Peter, Titus, and James, all in draft forms in various stages of revision. They're being checked for comprehension in the communities as we speak. This goes through several cycles, this checking process, as we were sharing this morning. earlier. And then what's coming up for the team? Well, you could be please praying for us as we go into the new material, which will be in this order, Ephesians, Philippians, and then the Gospel of John. So I'm really looking forward to those books. And pray for the team. Even now, they're out in their communities teaching lessons in Genesis, in the schools and in churches out there. And keep in mind then that for the translators, they had never heard any of Genesis before. And so the people back in the now they know about it because they've translated it together with me. And but the people in the communities really have no idea of the biblical account of creation, of Noah and the flood, of Abraham, Joseph, all the great foundational stories of the biblical narrative that set the stage for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So pray for them as they're out. And we actually were on the phone. Diane was on the phone with them just, was it yesterday or the day before?
The day before yesterday.
Do you have a little report you'd like to give?
Yeah, I'll just say that I asked them, they showed the Noah and the try to say it in English, the flood story. And I asked Edilberto and I asked Clever, okay, these kids that you were showing this to in school, had they ever seen anything like this or known about the flood before? And they said, no, they never known anything about it before. They were just sitting there in awe watching this and learning about this. So it's just so special for them. Well, we want to go ahead now and take you on a little trip to the areas where we work so that you can see the scenery, the roads, the people, the children learning in their classrooms, the promoters teaching, and also Dan and myself in action. And this will go through with some music for just about a minute and a half. We'll let you watch this.
The goal of our work in translating, in producing materials with people, and in training is so that all the peoples of the world have access to God's message in the language they understand best, and that ultimately this Word of God coming to them in the language they understand best transform their lives. Well, thank you so much for your participation with us in this ministry.